So while they're going, just a couple of things as we get started. We're going to continue and kind of finalize our series today on understanding our hero. I hope that Jesus is your hero. Last week we learned that Jesus came in by a servant, lived as a servant, and went out as a servant. I feel like that tremendous moment of him washing the feet was a tremendous reminder for us. Also, you'll see the baptism here. Since I've gotten here, a lot of people have asked and told me it's so hard to see it back there if you're not right on it. And so we're bringing it right to you so you can see and be a part of and celebrate with. And we're not back there, but a little change just to make it more of all of us celebrating together that. All right, you got your Bibles? That was not convincing. Well, this week we're going to kind of end this, and I think you'll see, yes, I like the sword drill going on, that's good. We're going to end this series leading us into the Seder, which is all about the sacrificial statement that Jesus makes and how he fulfills all those elements of really the Exodus, and so we're going to review that next week, but today we're going to end with obviously probably the most significant characteristic of Jesus, and that is the sacrificial lamb. He was a sacrificial lamb. In order to be a sacrificial lamb, you have to have a heart of concern for something outside of yourself. If you've served in some type of armed services, you had to think about something outside of yourselves. I've heard many people say, well, you know, they get paid for that, and I get that, and that's important so they can support their families. But the bottom line is when you sign on the dotted line to go into the armed services, you are signing with the possibility of getting into a place where you'll no longer survive what it is that you're faced with. And we know that many, thousands and thousands, have gone on to sacrifice themselves for the sake of the nation. And so when you're thinking about sacrifice, you're not thinking about yourself. And that's key here for us to understand about Jesus, is that as a sacrificial lamb, he was not thinking about himself. And so I hope that today really is an encouragement to you and an encouragement to your walk. And so we've been doing this because I think it's important we tie Jesus to the Old Testament, mix the two together. So points 1 and 2 in the Old Testament, last point in the New Testament, we're going to mesh them together. But we're going to talk about Abraham. Y'all know Abraham? Okay, Abraham and... See, you didn't really know him, you know what I mean? Like, you think about Abraham down the street or your neighbor or something. Abraham and Sarah, it started out as Abram and Sarai, and in this part, we're going to really look at basically Abraham, but I want to just kind of set your minds up. Are you ready for your minds to be set up? Are they in a good place? Hopefully. Okay, they'll be in a better place when we're done, right? But I want you to think about this for a second. Most of you in here have probably heard these events over and over and over again, and so today is going to be somewhat of a repeat for you, but I want you to think about it in a different way. And so God gave Abraham, or Abram and Sarai, a promise of a son. And then God gave him a promise, and I know I've said this in the last couple of weeks, that he'd be able to look in the stars and his descendants would be there. Meaning, and we sing the song Father Abraham, or here we are back to another part of the life of Father Abraham. So we got the gift. Have you ever waited for something for so long and finally it comes to be? I feel like all of us at some point have waited for something that we really, really wanted, and all of a sudden it comes to be, and the excitement, the joy, maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a life change in one of your family members. Maybe it's a financial blessing. Maybe I don't know, whatever it may be. Maybe it's a child that you prayed for years. I don't know. But I think all of us could probably relate to waiting for something and seeing it come to be. And that feeling is beautiful. In fact, as a pastor, one of the blessings I get to be a part of is hearing. I hear a lot of bad stuff, right, that we have to pray through, but I also hear the victories on the other side, and they're exciting. And I hear the hearts that have prayed for years and years, and then all of a sudden it comes, and it's like their faith just goes from here to there. So here is Abraham, having finally had Isaac. And there's this tremendous, probably, at least in my mind, joy of this promise that God had given them fulfilled. And then this young man grows up some. And this is where we get this event a little confused, and so I'm going to help you unconfuse it. But here we are, many, many years down the road after this promise was fulfilled. I'm pretty sure that Abraham was pretty content. I really feel like everything that God said was before him, and Abraham was content. Now, not content with his relationship with God. He continued to grow with God, but he was content knowing that God had fulfilled the promise that he had so and she had so longed for. And so that gets us to this point. And if you want to, I'd love for you to stand for the reading of God's word. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac." Think about this, whom you love. Now you're going to see a lot of relation, and I'm going to try to tie this together by the end, but this is very similar to Jesus. "Whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Okay, so stop for a second. Wait a minute. The promise that you gave me that I waited for so long, you're telling me to go and sacrifice it. Wait a minute. Now I think some of us have been there. A promise we've waited for and waited for, we receive it, and God said it's time to give it back. A hard moment in the life of Abraham. But here's what's interesting. And these are key moments, church, and I hope that you see, because I stop at these moments over and over again, week after week. When God calls and obedience follows, there's something about that. But see, too much in America, as Christians, God calls, we discuss. God is calling us to respond. You know what Abraham does? He rises. You know how many times it said in the Bible? There's a couple of times, and those times are significant. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, y'all are asleep. Okay. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac to carry for him. Come on now, church. This isn't a young boy. And he took it in his hand, the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Whew. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Come on about this. I mean, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand. This is the great part. You ever watch a movie before or a show and you think it's all going to go south and all of a sudden something comes in and stops it? Here's that moment. You're on the edge of your seat. You're sweating. You're eating your popcorn and all of a sudden, I love this. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham. Oh, wait, I skip. Oh, here I am. "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. Seeing you have not withheld your son, how much of us are we withholding? How much of what God is calling us to let go are we holding on to? Your only son from me," meaning you didn't even withhold your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." God, thank you for this scripture. Thank you for Abraham. Thank you for these moments. But God, most of all, thank you that Jesus stepped in. Thank you that Jesus is still stepping in. God, come here today and move in our midst. We bind the hands of Satan in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you would cast him out and let us be free from him in these moments to come. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Okay, so as a teenager, I used to use language like this, all that. Man, that was all that. Do you ever use that kind of language? If you're like my age, that was kind of big, like goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I mean, that's really dating me. But anyway, I could say some other things, but it's really embarrassing. I should have worn neon or something. But anyway, we would just say like, hey, that's all that. Well, I don't know what they say now because I'm not young, but I want you to think about this. The word all that. I want you to think in your life today, what's the one thing, the one person, the one thing that you're really holding on to, and in your life, it's like all that. It means everything. It's all that you waited for. It's all that you hoped for. It's all that you leaned into. It's all that you prayed for. It's everything to you. What's that thing, that person, that moment, that hope? Maybe it's for healing. Maybe it was for a person. Maybe it was for retirement. I don't know. But I want you to think about this. All that meant anything to Abraham was at stake. Well, what do you mean? Well, Sarah wasn't young. If you know anything about Scripture, she passes on and Abraham lives further along the road, marries again. And the promise that he had waited for into his old age, he had gotten. And everything that meant anything was rooted in that promise. Meaning Isaac was the avenue to look in the skies and see. And God said, hey, that which is all that, bring it to the altar. Take your son, whom you love, who means everything to you, who is all you ever hoped for, and I want you to give it back to me. See, oftentimes we allow ourselves to get wrapped up in this scripture. See, many of us immediately think, well, I mean, God already knew it was going to happen, and Abraham probably knew it was going to happen, and on and on and on. And you can think all of that, but it's not about that. It actually isn't about Isaac. We're going to talk about what Isaac represents in these events. It was more about Abraham. It's more about you. It's more about taking that which is all that to you and showing God that you're willing to sacrifice it on the altar. See, these pre-moments were all about Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac. Because mind you, Abraham at this point in his life, right, having already received the promise, having already, what else could he do? Knowing that this was the son that would carry on the promise, carry on his legacy, carry on the next steps. And God said, hey, I know this is all that you, I want you to take it. See, it wasn't about him. It was more about the ask. It was more about the willingness. See, oftentimes we get wrapped up in the ask, don't we? And we get so wrapped up in the ask that we never get past the ask to get to the move of God. This was more about God observing Abraham. Do you know right now we are in the journey where God is more about observing you, preparing you, seeing you, holding you, guiding you, getting you to this place to meet Jesus. See, this was a demonstration of a truth that can only be observed. See, it's not about God. It's not about Isaac. It's about, is Abraham okay with giving everything up for his God? So, what's God observing in you today? Well, you knew this week would have to be hard, right? Because we're leading up to sacrifice, we're getting to Easter, and it's not easy. So, the first part today, this is simple, and we're going to move pretty quickly, is that Abraham was observed by God in taking all that meant everything to him, anything to him, and placing it at, you have to think, either Sarah or Isaac, if we were to line it out, right? We understand Abraham well enough. Out of what he loved the most, it had to be one or the other. And so God asked for the young boy, and Abraham rose, took all that was anything to him, and he rose. What else did God ask? Well, he asked three things. Actually, there are three imperatives, and it progressively gets harder. The first was to take, to go, to offer, right? To take, to go, to offer. Let's discuss this for a second. Take. You ever take something? Okay, whew, y'all are like looking at me like, I think all of us, probably some of us, right? I haven't actually done this, but taking something that isn't yours out of a store, you ever done that? You probably don't want to admit it, right? But probably somebody in a room this size at some point in their life took something that wasn't theirs, okay? And, right? Didn't pay for it. Interestingly enough, he said, take your son whom you love. Think about God for a second. What did he say about Jesus? It was his only son whom he loved. Come on now. Think about Abraham, line of David, line of Jesus. He said, take your only son whom you love. God spoke it in such a way that there was no way out. There's no way to translate that God was, in Abraham's mind, the instruction he was given, Abraham was taking him to death. And somehow God was going to provide. I don't really know what Abraham was thinking. Maybe he was thinking, well, Jesus is going to come through the... Maybe he was thinking, well, it's already time for... I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he was thinking, well, God wouldn't take if he wasn't going to give. See, here the idea of take literally meant take. But interestingly enough, when something is taken that was instructed by God, there's always something greater that will come in replace of it. So first, he asked Abraham, take all that's dear to you and go on a journey. Interestingly enough, this second imperative is only spoken of twice in Genesis. You want to know when it first was spoken of? Genesis 12:1. You know when that was? When God first called Abraham. Think about it. When God first called Abraham, he asked him to go. Did you know when God calls us somewhere, he's calling us to go? He's not calling us to rest, to sit aside, to be a bystander. He said, Abraham, let's go. You're going to go and you're going to follow me. And here is the promise I'm going to give you. Now we go all the way to here, and it's actually written kind of beautifully. This is the final huge example of Abraham's faith. Now, it doesn't mean he stopped believing. It doesn't mean that things changed. It just meant that this was a moment only spoken of twice in Genesis, once of his movement with him, once of his final movement of faith with him. So when the faith journey began and when the faith journey ended. Well, what do you mean? That sounds kind of odd. Here's the thing. God asked him to sacrifice his son. how much greater does it get? If God said to you, now in this day and age, it'd be so strange, right? I want you to sacrifice your son. I would say to you today, it's probably not God. This was a specific purpose. But I just want you to think about it. How much more could God ask of Abraham? In fact, the scripture tells us that this was so dear to Abraham, and yet he was so willing. And so Abraham did just that. He went. Are you willing to take all that is dear to you and go on the journey that God's calling you to? Willingly, without discussion. So here we see future faithfulness and past faithfulness. That's why we study so much of the life of Abraham. And then the third imperative was offer. Most theologians would say this. Think about this for a second. Most would say in Abraham's mind as he journeyed up there, he had full intentions of killing Isaac, and because of what he understood about God, God would raise him from the dead. See, most theologians believe that's the only way Abraham could do that in such a calm manner. I mean, think about it. If you have a child, maybe you don't, then put somebody you really, really love there, and God says, I want you to sacrifice that. So most theologians say, well, he would have had to been thinking that God could resurrect it. And Abraham honestly would have believed that. We should believe it. And so he said, offer. Offer and I'll provide. And guess what? God stepped in. God stepped in. So I guess as we head to a season of Easter, what is God asking you to take? Where is he asking you to go? And what is he asking you to offer him? Obviously, it's not a child, but what is it? What is it that maybe you're withholding? Because you know what? We already established was Abraham willing? And so are you willing? Church, it's a hard ask, but there's no way around it. And then we see this moment where the Lord, translated Jesus, steps in. Significant, right? Steps in and says, stop. It's like that movie moment. It all of a sudden, like, a lot of times in the movie, it's unrealistic, right? How many times have you sat with someone and said, you know, like real life, that there's no way, you know what I mean? Like the train's coming, they grab the cloak, and it's like in that moment, the train, I mean, you know, we'd be just going with the train, you know what I'm saying? You didn't know that, ask Sean Richwine, okay? He works for the train and weekly goes away with people that got, just be careful of trains. People still dying because of trains. Anyway, y'all aren't with me. Okay, so think about this here. In this scene with Abraham, we see God step in and the Lord speaks and ask Abraham not to sacrifice Isaac. Now let's go on a journey with scripture here. In John 10, 11, it tells us what? Jesus declared the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We are the sheep. Something I've learned, we have two sheep, and something I've learned, I try not to talk about them too much, but it is fascinating, and I didn't know this until we had sheep. They're both totally different. And I've started to study sheep just because I'm fascinated by it, because they're right in my house and backyard. And I'm like, I've learned that some are stubborn, some are sweet, some are, the one inside is like really sweet, and that's a female. The one outside is a male, and he's increasingly not as sweet as he used to be. And I don't know if that's a male thing. Hey, that justifies, right? I can just start, you know, okay. It's just natural, you know what I'm saying? I was going mean, okay? But anyway, it's funny. Can I just tell you a side note? It's kind of funny because the male lamb knocks them all over, pushes them, like, you know, just wants their attention. I get out there, and it's so crazy because I'm like, no joke with him. He comes up, and he like jumps and rams and gets about this far from me. Because he knows if he does that to me, I'm going to drag him into his pen, and I'm going to lock him up in there, and then he's going to be stuck, and he ain't going to be out because you're not ramming me in my backyard. Anyway, with the girls, he just rams them and walks all over them, and they come in screaming. But there's just something about it. They're all different. We're all different. It doesn't matter how different you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It says in the scripture that the shepherd laid down his life for no matter who it was. No matter how different, no matter how unique, no matter how whatever you think you are, it says in John 10:11 that Jesus declared that a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Which means that Jesus stepped in because Isaac couldn't fulfill it. Isaac represented it, but he couldn't fulfill it. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Jesus has stepped into his people's place. Church, it's like this, and I know this is like really churchy terms, but here we are in the courtroom. You are guilty. And all of a sudden, the verdict's about to come out, and the jury's already decided that it's going to be what it is. You're guilty. And Jesus comes in and sits next to you and says, hey, take the seat next to me. And he takes it on. And then you turn and it's like, why? Why? Well, because I'm the only one that can. Isaac isn't enough. All the things that were slain in the Old Testament process weren't enough. My blood is what can cover. And so Jesus, he's the one that meets us. He's the one that moves. He's the one that can. The Old Testament covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus. And so, Jesus met death and he meets us at our death. He meets us now. He has a desire to meet us now. We've already talked through all of that. The great thing is that he's going to meet us when it's almost time for our death. And because of the steps and the movement, because of salvation, because of his sacrifice, because of what we'll celebrate at Easter, he not only meets us now, he not only met us before, but he's going to go ahead and he's going to meet us. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go to John 19, 25, and 28. This is at the very last moments. He's on the cross. And I feel like, I'm going to try to read this without crying. John 19, verses 25 and 28. And I guess I'll start in 23 to give you some. He's on the cross when the soldiers had crucified Jesus. They took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross, here's where I want you to get to, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus is at his worst. His body, his heart, his mind, he just cried out to God not too long ago. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, one male, the rest females, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is a scripture we often don't stop at. We often don't read, but it tells us a couple of truths. It first tells us that at this point, Mary was a widow, or it wouldn't have been spoke of this way. Meaning it wouldn't have been Jesus' responsibility, because think about it, he was a single male, she was a widow, so guess who needed to take care in the Jewish law of his mother, which tells you his mother was what? Beside him, right to the end. And then at his worst, he looked down and saw her alone. And knowing that none of his brothers, no one else would care for him, you know why? Because she aligned with him. Where were the rest of them? We'll see them in a little bit in the scriptures. But the bottom line is they weren't there. And so he looked at a disciple and said, "Take care of my mother," which tells us that he had been caring for her. And then he passed it on. So in the worst moments, really, of Jesus' earthly existence, he mustered up enough strength to look out, and not forget his own mother. So even in the process of Jesus being sacrificed, he saw people. In the worst of his earthly condition, he saw his mom. In your worst days, you know what he sees? You. In your hardest moments, you know who he sees? You. And so think about this for a second. If he asked Abraham to take all that was dear to him and asked him to go and take him to the altar and then intervened in the very last moments and said, "No, I'll take it for you," how can you tell me today that if he's asking you to go somewhere, to sacrifice something, to take, to go, and to offer, that he won't meet you at that moment? The last thing that I'm going to say before I just say my last statement. Interestingly enough, Isaac did what? He carried his own wood, which tells us that in Scripture that he was strong enough to carry his own wood. So what does that mean? If a young man is strong enough, right? I bet you in about 10, 15 years, not now, but any young man in this church, I'd be willing to take on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just is, I'm not that old yet, and I know how to take care of myself. We fought in the army, what, daily and weekly? I didn't like that part, but I did it, right? The only person I lost to was my sergeants because they just had an edge on me. But the bottom line is he was a young man that could carry enough wood. Think about a human sacrifice. You know how much wood that is? It's probably about the length of this. He carried enough wood up the hill for his own sacrifice. Let's fast forward to Jesus. What did he carry? His cross. That's foreshadowing, church. That's letting us know there's something to it. And so Jesus carried, and we know what Scripture says. So why can't we? Why can't we carry our cross? Because I'm pretty sure it's not the one that Abraham was asked or Isaac was asked to carry. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't as great as what Jesus carried. And the great thing is when we get to that point, guess who's there? Jesus. Because he's not going to take you somewhere where he isn't already headed. And so, if you get there and he's not there, then I'm going to say somewhere along the way, you misheard. And so as we get to this last statement, we've been talking about Jesus being our hero. And I feel like one of the greatest qualities of a hero, and there are lots of people in history that have done this, that have actually sacrificed their own life for someone else. But the greatest attribute of a hero is that they would be willing to sacrifice their own life for you. And so Jesus fulfills that quality. He was willing to sacrifice his own life for you. God, today we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that in his worst, he still saw, he still ministered, he still moved. And so today, God, we pray that you would continue to go before us where you're calling us. We love you, we honor you, and we ask today as we go into this time of baptism that you would move, that you would transform, that you would change, that you would challenge, and even those of us that are watching, that it would be a great reminder of our baptism, of those moments that you drew us in and called us forward. And so today, God, we thank you that we can celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus, but most of all, the resurrection. We're coming to the season where we're going to celebrate the resurrection. And what a glorious moment that was. It made all that happens today, that will happen tomorrow, possible. And so today we trust you, we love you. We thank you for going to a place we couldn't go and being our sacrificial lamb. And we look forward to the time and day that we meet you and that you meet us. And we pray that in those moments, it would be beautiful, it would be great, and that we'd be drawn in and not drawn out. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to invite the Moreno kids to come up. You want to come stand right here by me, all three of you. And Breland, is Breland here? Come on over here, Breland. What a great day this is. How exciting that these children have chosen God and want to be baptized today. So we are going to baptize each one. Layla, you want to be first? Layla, you want to take your shoes off while I'm talking here, and then you can climb into this big tub, okay? There, perfect. Okay, climb in here, sweetie. Can you get it? Good job. Layla, can you tell us today why you want to be baptized?
Because I went to Florida. Jesus said, "Dad."
Perfect. And Layla, do you choose Jesus today as your Savior, your King, and your friend?
Yes.
All right. Can you sit down in the water for me? Layla Annalie Moreno, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Celestino, can you tell us today why you want to be baptized?
Because I want to follow God.
All right. And you just prayed on your knees at the altar up in Kids Church, didn't you? Yes, you did. And God, do you choose, Celestino, do you choose God as your Savior, your King, and your friend?
Yes, I do.
Celestino, Angel, Moreno, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Alonzo, can you tell me today why you want to be baptized?
Because I want to follow God.
Right. And do you choose God as your Savior, your King, and your friend?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Alonzo William Moreno, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, why you want to be baptized?
Because I love God and I want to follow Him.
Awesome. And do you choose today God as your Savior, your King, and your friend?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sit down? Breland Meese, I baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Coming for about a year now, and I am also 5 years clean from drugs. So I want to get baptized today to just give my life over to God and just to have a positive future going forward.
I just want to say a couple of words. The Krolls are sitting over there, and if you don't know anything, she took care of Morris, and he had a tremendous impact on his last days, in his 80s, on her life. And because of Darius and Morris, she is here, and she has received Christ, and so it's exciting. And so we know today that she is saved, and so they're excited to celebrate as well, because it's kind of one of those after death moments where we can see a legacy that's continued to go on. So hey, seniors, don't lose hope. You mean and you matter.
Yeah, that's a little bit hard.
All right, put your hands over your nose. I'm gonna go back. Candace Jones, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I get baptized because I want to love God as much as He loves me. I want to be with Him and I will follow Him.
Ah. Miguel Moreno, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if you're seeing it, but the kids that were baptized, that's mom, daughter, right, dad, kids, and now mother-in-law. Church, isn't it great celebrating new life in Christ? Let's give our baptism candidates a round of applause and Jesus a round of applause. Amen. Yeah, stand to your feet. This is a great reason to celebrate. Awesome. Well, if you want to be blessed, we're doing it again second service, so after Sunday school, just sneak on into the community center, okay? Slow down, and we're going to close this in prayer, all right? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you for visible, tangible evidence that you are still moving and transforming lives in our midst, Jesus. Thank you for the celebration of new life. And Lord, we pray that this wouldn't be the end, but this would just be the beginning here at AFC, that we would expand our footprint, that we would increase the results, and that we would further your kingdom. So Jesus, I just pray that you'd bless us as we go our ways. Help us to be salt and light in this grid and beyond, all throughout Madison County and all of our spheres of influence. And for everything that you've already done, you're continuing to do, and that you will do, we'll give you the praise. For we all said this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We'll see you in Sunday school. Thank you.
No place where we can go to lay the troubles down.